The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
On RT1 television tonight, Love and Loss in a Pandemic tells a number of stories of Ireland dealing with COVID-19. And one of the most touching, I think, is the one we're going to hear about Eileen O'Neill, who was one of the first people to have passed away as a result of COVID-19 back on the 18th of March. And we're joined by her daughter, Siobhan Cullen. Siobhan, thank you very much for taking the time to join us on the programme.
Thank you, Matt, for giving me the opportunity.
I think you had an absolutely dreadful time by the sounds of it, not just the grief of losing your mother, but the circumstances of her hospitalisation and then the funeral afterwards must have really intensified the grief. Can you tell us a little bit about your mother first, please?
The words I have been using to describe Mum is that of a warrior, but I'll actually add to that now. She was a very glamorous warrior.
Right.
She loved her style. She loved her clothes. She was an extraordinarily active person. Had fought, had had health problems on and off for a number of years, and had fought them. And as I say, she was a warrior. And the night she died, I raised a glass to her, although she never drank. Because for somebody who had been through so much, to be taken away by this virus that none of us had ever heard, that just came from nowhere,
because
was extraordinary.
The 18th of March was very, very early on in all of this. And I think she was one of the first people who has been known to have died as a result of COVID-19. She was vulnerable, probably, wasn't she, because she'd had a number of strokes previously?
Yeah, she had one stroke, Matt. She had a stroke the previous April, but she did have respiratory problems, which would have left her very, very vulnerable. But having said that, she was very careful. My brother and I were very careful around her. She lived on her own because that was what she wanted to do. She was very, very independent woman. And once she was discharged from Donnybrook, who were fantastic, she went home. And the last time she left the house would have been February. And apart from my brother and her carers and my brother's wife, she didn't see anybody apart from those five people in the 2 weeks before she died. And I think that's what's the most frightening. If Mum got it, anybody can get this.
And how long did she live with the COVID-19? How long before she died after contracting it? Do we know?
She was admitted into hospital on the Friday evening. She had a sudden turn, which I actually thought might have been a sepsis attack, because she had had sepsis and was so sudden. And due to COVID, she was put into isolation in A&E and tested. And I got a phone call on Sunday to say that she had tested positive. On the Monday, she started to put her affairs in order because she was completely and absolutely aware of the seriousness of it, and Mum died on the Wednesday.
How much access did you and your brother and other members of family have to her at that time?
I had asked, from the time she was diagnosed as being positive, I had asked straight away, could I get in? And the different people I asked, it went from maybe, probably not. And then the third doctor who phoned me actually on the Tuesday evening said, it's a good question, I'll ask. Now, taking into account that Mum was she was as bright as a spark and completely has all her faculties. But from the time she had her stroke, it knocked her, and she didn't want to say, she didn't want to be sick, she didn't want to die. So anything medical that happened from then on, she would say to the, the medics or the nurses or whoever, don't want to know about that, talk to my daughter. And it wasn't the case that she wouldn't take it in. She actually just didn't want to know because she was not going to die. So that was very frightening for her and for me, because I knew that the medical teams would be asking her various questions that she really wasn't going to be able to answer, because I would have had all that information. So when a doctor phoned me on the Tuesday evening and told me how seriously ill she was, that she was the worst, the most ill patient she had, I asked again, could we go in? And he said, I'll find out for you and I'll let you know, but we're not near that stage yet.
Because
I'm
Siobhan,
within 30 minutes.
Yeah, this is... I'm aware from a number of people that I know that this has been one of the most difficult things about COVID-19. The hospitals having to put in place restrictions to try and stop the spread of the infection. But at the same time, that there have been very, very seriously ill people who can't be visited. So it's distressing for those who are ill, and it's also distressing for the relatives who want to go and provide comfort to their loved ones.
It is. It is distressing for everybody, but the protocols are there for a reason, and the reason is that COVID is very, very serious, and it is to limit the spread, and it is hard. And, you know, as you rightly pointed out, Mum was so early. There was no FaceTime or anything like that. But I think Mum would have probably struggled with it anyway because she wasn't technologically aware. But no, it was very hard. And then, and Mum knew that. Like, I was on the phone to her almost every hour on the hour. But, and then when we did get into here, which was the Tuesday evening, my brother and I went in. I didn't want to frighten her. So I lied, and fortunately the doctor backed me up, and I said, oh, look, you know what I'm like, I just bullied my way in. And they kept saying no, and I just got my own way in the end. And she accepted it, but as the hours went on, she also accepted that she was dying.
Tell us a little bit, and I know this will be featured in the documentary tonight, Love and Loss in a Pandemic, but I'm also very taken by how distressing the funeral must have been, because you weren't able to live up to her wishes in relation to the funeral that she might have liked to have had. Tell us a little bit about how difficult the whole thing was.
It was very difficult, Matt. My dad died very suddenly in 2002, and I had to arrange his funeral. And I thought I would never go through anything as horrendous again. But this was, it was, the whole thing was surreal. We couldn't meet the undertaker. Now, the undertaker was absolutely fantastic, but the arrangements had to be made over the phone. Mum had her wishes laid out. She knew exactly what she wanted to be buried in. We didn't have that option because she was put into up in the actual ward that she died in her room. She was put into a double body bag before she was moved. Then, you know, the funeral itself, the protocols kept changing. We couldn't bring her to a church. I managed to get a priest, our local parish priest, very kindly went to the undertakers, and he said a mass, but there was only my brother and his wife and my husband and I present. And then when we left the church, or sorry, not the church, when we left the undertakers, we had to wait in the car park because they said the coffin had to be re-disinfected before it went into the hearse. And then we drove to the cemetery, and they'd obviously phoned ahead that we were on our way. So they basically blocked the road behind us. So just in case anybody was following us. Now, as it happened, my best friend from school was there. I was just so delighted to see her, even from a distance. And I'll thank her for the rest of my life. But they copped on who she was quite quickly and went out and said, no, no, you'd have to leave. And then we stayed in the cars until Mum was buried. And then the undertaker stepped away, the grave digger stepped away, and only then were we allowed out. And the whole thing from start to finish, from the moment I arrived in the undertaker's to the moment I was driving out of the cemetery, was exactly 1 hour.
Siobhan, I can only imagine how distressing that must have been, because a major part of Irish life, I think, is the support that friends and family give to the bereaved at the time of a funeral. And you know, the circumstance of the funeral, if it's a religious ceremony or the graveside or whatever, and the gathering of people together is so important.
Yeah.
And to miss out on that must be so upsetting.
It's something I've actually been thinking about quite a bit lately. And I was thinking of Mum's friends. Unfortunately, I think the realisation of it is only really beginning to hit me now. I rang Mum's friend, one of her friends, after she died. And of course, I didn't have her phone number, so I rang her from Mum's phone. And of course, she answered the phone saying, hi, Eileen, how are you? Because she didn't know Mum was in hospital. And I think of that poor woman taking that call from me at that Wednesday. But also, my relationship with my friends is completely different to my relationship with my husband and my children. And my friends could tell great yarns about me. And I think we do funerals very well. And part of, you know, the post-funeral get-together is hearing stories about your loved one that you've just buried that you didn't know about from other people who different types of relations with them, relationships. Also, we don't have any relations in Dublin, so it was particularly hard for a branch of our family that we're particularly close to who live down the country, because they hadn't seen Mum. You know, they found it very hard to accept she was gone, and really, part of my acceptance was very delayed because due to the 5 kilometre limit, I wasn't able to visit her home, wasn't able to visit her grave, and that was very difficult to accept that this had happened when I couldn't be in places that I would have expected Mum to be in. And then when the travel limit was lifted, I went down the country to visit my cousins. And that was really hard. It was really hard.
Siobhan, unfortunately, I don't think your story is untypical, because I think so many people have had similar issues in relation to funerals and the loss of loved ones to COVID-19. But I think it is important that you're telling it. And I know that... Thank you for the time that you've taken to join us on The Last Word today. And I know it'll be covered in detail in Love and Loss in a Pandemic, which is on RT1 television at 9:35 tonight. Siobhan Cullen, thank you very much for telling us about your mother, Eileen O'Neill.
Thank you, Matt.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.